Well, fired up about today. Wow. What are the, I'm just kind of getting into this conversation before we even get started, just thinking about this fact that Anthony's up and had a $3 million 2 weeks, which is fantastic. And just kind of going around this topic that we just being pretty relentless on, which we need to be if you're trying to do something as hardcore as, you know, do a year in a quarter. That's not not something to take lightly. It's not something that is done easily. But, compounded efforts are interesting because they're kind of uncalculable, right? You don't know when they're going to happen. That's the thing about referrals. That's the thing about treating clients well. That's the thing about following up and great service is when things occur, you don't know when they're going to occur. You know, that it's amazing how that just kind of happens, but through long-term planning and long-term follow-up, you know that it will, you know, it's just a matter of time. So like with Anthony, I know it almost felt like luck. I think we were saying, that you can just have people just suddenly call you, you know, and just a ton of assets or something, but it wasn't luck. It was long-term strategy. It was working, at dealing with every single element of your business, right, in a smart way. And then it comes together, right? So anyways, really, just pumped to kind of get into this today, and talk about the strategies that people are actually doing. And this is something we talked about recently, but cannot be said enough, which is what are all the little things that you're doing to serve clients at a greater depth, to create more referrals, to grow, you know, your team, to grow your personal brand. What are the things you're doing that are helping, let's call it, people who don't know you, right? Prospects to engage or want to engage with you, right? And sometimes a lot of that engagement now, it happens digitally. Like they don't know, you don't know that they're engaging with you. Like for instance, yesterday I started a golf lesson, a digital golf lesson, which was kind of weird. But I have a golf simulator in my house that I just built for this year and kind of a new thing. And basically, I've been following this guy on Instagram who's like a golf, you know, golf guy, right? Golf pro, let's call it. Okay. So I've been following this guy for an extended period of time now. And when I mean extended, I mean like 2 years. I've been watching this guy's stuff, trick shots and just all this stuff. And he's clearly amazing at golf, but then he also teaches lessons and things. Well, he had a link tree, right? I went to his link tree. In there, he had some examples like online Zoom training, in person, you know, this and that, basically options, click on that, get like the rates, you know, what does he cost for one visit, three visit, you know, that kind of thing. He had it all spelled out, right? Had it all spelled out through his little link tree landing page. Okay. And then through there, I was like, okay, now I know what I'm getting into. 3 1-hour sessions. If I do that, this is the price, right? And I'll give this guy a shot, right? See what happens. Well, when we were talking yesterday and he's like, how long, right? It's kind of what I was saying about luck. He might feel like, well, it's just some guy booked an appointment with me. Unbelievable, right? Larry Waddell's would say unbelievable. And, but it wasn't, he had a strategy. He's been putting up Instagram videos and stories religiously for years. I mean, I don't know how long. I've been following him for like 2 years. But he's been staying the course, staying consistent in his creation of content, right? So this guy's just been putting this stuff up. I'm watching it forever, right? And we're talking about like 24 months, okay? And finally, book a call, set up some initial appointments and, or for lessons. And he finally gets to make out, right? And get paid from Josh Mock, right? Well, he's gotten paid from a whole bunch of other people using the same strategy during that period of time. But it's not luck, right? It's just timing, right? Everything's about timing. Somebody doesn't want to move their money. market starts to fall. They realize I'm getting no support. You know, my 401k, this is just like a retail fund, buy, hold, ride. Okay. Oh, managed accounts, that conversation that person had with me actually starts to make more sense. Maybe I should call her back. Right. You know, that kind of thing. So it's just interesting that just yesterday I went through this process where I was the consumer in this process of, if somebody was using social media religiously, creating a link, a landing page that lets me know what I'm going to pay, what I'm going to get, book through his Calendly, scheduled an appointment. He called me right on time, and which was also a good sign, right? Called me right on time. And we were off to the races. So anyways, that's a strategy, right? And it's a strategy that is clearly working in the world today and is growing like crazy. So anyways, I'm just really excited about all these strategies that people can be implementing and we can be doing. But we got into it a little bit this Tuesday on the call. And Anthony, I was hoping that you and I would be able to talk a little bit, but I'm just glad that you're on this morning, about just what are some things that you've been doing that maybe felt like, you know, it was maybe luck. I don't know if you feel like that. Sometimes I do. I feel like, oh man, I just fell into that. And then you have to rewrite the story and remember like, no, I've actually been really staying after this for a long time, you know? And sometimes it is luck, right? You're like, I have no idea how this even happened, but it did. So I don't know if you're feeling that way at all with this, but yeah. Had a great first couple of weeks to the month, to the quarter of the year, right? Just exploded out the gate. So what are your feelings on some of that and how it all came together?
I'll tell you, it's really buying into consistency. I know if you were to talk to my uplines, there was a big part of my career, which I remember Jim Coker used to call me the supernova, where, you know, I'd have super results and then go away for like 3 or 4 months, you know, and it was really just taking on the idea of, okay, let's just be consistent in our daily activity. Been doing that for probably 3 years now. And it's amazing how, you know, your income in a year will jump, you know, 150%. When you're consistent. And that's all I've been doing is just consistently using STP, consistently sending out the campaigns since July, consistently following up with, you know, my existing client base. And just to give you guys an idea of where some of this business came from, what happened was is I had a client that was referred to me by one of my downline because her dad was a financial planner. And he passed away and thought she was going to inherit his business, but came to find out that all of that, those clients that he had developed over like 20 years rolled back up to the company. So she got calls from the clients and they were like, can you help me? I know I heard about your dad. I don't know what to do with my money. And she's like, I don't know what to do. So she just happened to be involved in Primerica at the time. And then we ended up going to see a whole bunch of these people. I think there's probably 100 clients that we ended up taking over. And this was probably 7 years ago. And one of those clients was one of the ones that I did $670,000 with this past month. And that all came from, you know, working with the client. They had a small account at the time, was like $50,000 from the previous advisor that passed away. I continued to work with them, service them, see them every 6 months, you know, call them every 3 months, do all the things we're supposed to do. And then he got an offer to have an early retirement buyout from Liberty Mutual. So he said, you know, can you take a look at this for me? Because I'm not understanding the documents. So I reviewed them and he said, I'm not really going to take the early retirement. And I said, why would you not? It's like $2 million. And he goes, no, it's only like about $1 million and I'm making $250,000 a year. So it doesn't make any sense to retire at 56. And I'm like, no, we went through, read the documents and he was blown away. And he went back to his office and started talking to people about me because he's like, we're not reading this paperwork right. We should take advantage of this. So a lot of that is coming now. And then So I got 670,000 from him, and then the 2 million is coming. I got a referral from him because of our conversations and all the work that I did trying to help him figure it all out. That was totally unrelated. It was just a friend of his wife's that came over for a dinner party. And to be honest, the client ended up telling me once I did a $1 million trade with them that they really didn't know the couple very well, but they spoke extremely highly of you. And we had been meaning to do something with somebody. We're at 60, you know, they're at 59 years old, 60 years old right now, and are starting to take retirement serious. So he's got 1.4 million in his 401k. So we moved a million of it to protect it. And now he's actually selling his properties, which will probably end up being about $2 million that he'll end up investing because he doesn't want to be a landlord anymore. So long story short, all of that came from just treating a client right, working with a client no matter what their assets were, continuing to follow up. And when the time is right, things just kind of develop. So I don't look at it as luck, actually, Josh. It feels like luck, but it's definitely not luck because of all the hard work I put in, you know, for 7 years with that client to get that. So yeah. That's how that $2 million, $3 million actually ended up coming to fruition, is through just insane follow-up using the system once we had it. And now we've actually got referrals to two other larger companies that are also doing early retirement options that look like they may be bigger than Liberty Mutual. So those are all the things I've been working on for like the last year, is all these clients that are getting early retirement options, and they're all starting to come in now.
Yeah. And I remember you talking about those, like a year ago. I don't know exactly, but you were talking about that on Sales Team Pro, that was upcoming. Right. And you've been following up with them then, those that you have contact info for. I'm sure you've been following up with them this entire time.
Yep. And it's all stuff that you don't see, you know, and we keep trucking along, making 10, 15, 20,000 for America. And then all of a sudden these things pop, you know? And so, the best thing I can tell people is you just got to keep your head down and just have faith in your work ethic and the system. That's kind of how I've always looked at it. I've always told my good mantra for mine when I was broke was, hey, it's only money I can make more, you know, and we're fortunate to be in a business where we actually have the power to be able to do that. And I just have constantly, you know, reading books, belief in myself, continue working when the results weren't there. And this just happens to be one of the examples of, you know, some success from that.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what do you, I mean, you've got a lot of this coming. I went through a scenario once where I was with a plant, kind of a smaller company who was doing buyouts. They weren't huge buyouts, but they were solid, you know, and I did like, I don't know, 5.5-6 million out of that group over the course of about 2 months. And all little trades. Everybody thought I did like some monster trade. I'm like, no, they're almost all like 100 to 200, you know, and which aren't little trades, but they're not big either. And so the only thing I regret was not driving it even harder, you know, because I probably got like half the clients and I could have got them like 80% probably, you know. And I looked back afterwards being like, well, I didn't devote all my time to that, basically. Like I was giving it a portion. And so have you ever felt like that when it comes to just like follow up in certain things or something, like, man, afterwards I should have been more aggressive maybe with something than I was?
Yeah, I think you're right. The thing is, when you get into these plans, as you know, especially if they're intricate, like the Liberty Mutual one had like three different payout components. So it wasn't just one lump sum of money. It was like three different aspects of it that you have to figure out for the client. And it's tedious and time consuming to put all the strategies together for those clients and have them be confident in those strategies. Because what I found out is when you do these early retirement options, especially with companies like Liberty, these aren't clients that hate where they work. You know, a lot of these people have been there 20, 30, 40 years in some cases. And a lot of it was more working with them psychologically than it was, you know, physically in terms of the investment assets, to get them to realize, hey, leaving the company I've been at for 37 years is going to be a good thing for me. So a lot of that was just handholding calls. And some of these clients I probably had 10 Zoom calls with before they ended up doing the investments, because most of them we couldn't meet with in person because of the timing of the pandemic. Through this process, what I looked at is they had planned on 23% of the people over 55 would take the option. And I was working feverishly to try to get in front of as many of those people as I could at the beginning of it. Then we find out at the end that it oversubscribed, where they had 66% of the people that were offered subscribed. And so in my own process, I'm like, how could I have gotten in front of more of those people? When you're talking about, Josh, this was probably 600 to 700 people that got the offer. So I think part of my answer is, yes, I wish I had. But my second part is, I don't know how I could have, just with the amount of time I was putting into the ones that I had that were listening. So, and then I had some competition that they had brought in, some different investment companies that, to be honest, they went with the managed platform versus the platform that I was using and convinced them that that was a better way. So it's some hit or miss too. You know, it's relationships. You try to develop relationships quickly with these people, but sometimes it just comes down to, you know, dollars and cents. So I know that's a long-winded answer, but that's kind of both.
Yeah. So we're, that's kind of like, we could go down that path for a while. Like, are you managed accounts licensed, or I can't remember?
I am not managed account licensed, for several reasons. But it wasn't something that I think I probably would have gotten them, because I had my managed accounts license, because the company that they had connected to them, was being referred by Liberty Mutual,
yep, not by third
party. So I think they were going to go with it regardless of whether with a pension or whatever.
Right. It was internal, and that's always hard to beat. I mean, everybody who's on here who does investments knows if somebody's 401k is with Fidelity and they're like, I'm going to stay with Fidelity, it's just a bigger job. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean that there aren't reasons they should move. It's just more work, you know, cause there's trust there. You know, et cetera, et cetera. So
hard part there, John, they were doing seminars on site that they didn't allow me to do. Took a long time to, but I mean, we captured a bunch of them. If they let us have their ear for a little while, we got a lot of them that flipped. It was just impossible for me as an individual to have done more. The only part I made me identify and look at, Josh, is if I had built a bigger securities license team and I had brought them into the process, I possibly could have captured more of these clients. So kind of what I'm looking at it going forward is, if I'm going to do a lot more of these, I want to have more oars in the water that can actually do some of the work rather than me trying to do it all myself.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. The bigger team is, and that was the thing I was going to say that is helpful. One of my RVPs had like one at this plant, and then we had to do like 4 or 5 seminars there where, for like day shift people, different day shift, afternoons, nights, you know, kind of thing. And they brought us in to talk to all the different people. Well, what we did was we had a bunch of newer securities license people and people who wanted to basically just do packs, rollovers of less than 25 grand. We gave them to like these two people, and there was like a bunch of those. And then, if they were like, we basically like tiered out the group, you know, on who would meet with them. And it just made life easy, you know, cause then we got to more people and faster, you know, and, that's of course the power of a team, which is always helpful. Really good. So yeah. So let's talk about strategies for anybody else. Thank you, Anthony. That's just a really, really good insight. So there you go, everybody. He got a lot of business through a corporation buyout situation. You've got to know when those are coming. You can find that a lot of times in the newspapers. You can see when those things are happening. And then you got to try to like jump in there and get involved. So, good morning, Josh. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Take it away.
I just wanted to share two quick things. I'm kind of old school, and I'm trying to catch up with technology. Right now I'm sending out postcards, and my goal is to call all my clients over the next several weeks. But in terms of, you know, more of the digital type stuff, I've asked clients who are active on social media if they could put in a plug for me. And that's how I found some of my biggest clients. In my hometown, I live in Wheaton, and there's a Wheaton Moms Facebook page. And if you can get good with them, you can find a lot of great business. So a lot of plumbers and designers and financial people. If you get praise, you can find, clients that way. And of course, you know, if they don't like you, then that's bad too. And so I've asked clients who are on that page to be proactive and say, hey, would you mind putting a good word for me? And so that has helped tremendously. The second thing is I do seminars every now and then. And then with COVID, things have gone online. So I've done some, you know, Zoom seminars, and that can be hit or miss. But the idea is my biggest client of last year came from 4 years of, you know, once a year doing a seminar at my library, getting nothing, and then get a $3 million client on a Zoom webinar through our public library. And by the way, it was the librarian. It's the whole millionaire next door. You would never expect the librarian would have this kind of money, but she did. And because I just got out there and just using what was available to us, she took advantage. So just a couple ideas of asking for help in the digital world, and then just being consistent with getting in front of people, whether it's in person or digitally.
Yeah, that's really powerful, man. When that factory I was talking about earlier, for me, how I got in there was in this little podunk town. And I mean, it is like a little town. Okay. I did like a money seminar because I had a couple of clients who in that town who are referrals. And I did this little money seminar at this pizza place where it was like, we didn't even have a private room. It was crazy. I mean, it was like, you know, I had like a slideshow and the whole deal in there, you know, the projector, and did this thing for like 8 people. Well, then the one guy became the client. The one guy then started to talk to everybody at work. Then we found out about this buyout. Then all of a sudden he was referring to everybody, and it was like, and all of a sudden, whiz bang, I made like $120,000 from that group, you know, and it was because of the stupid pizza night. You know what I mean? Like it, so it's not dumb. Like you don't know, as I opened up with, what things trigger and or trigger something later, just because they're not hitting right then. That night felt like a failure. You know, it felt like I was in this little pizza place, wasted my time, you know, but I got that one sale and it was good. It paid for the night and this and that, was profitable, but it just didn't feel like, you know, that was amazing, worth driving an hour and a half, you know, to go do. But then what does it turn into? Right. So really great point. Is anybody else using Facebook, Facebook groups? Groups is really powerful, because if you're running your own Facebook group, you can then, as Josh was saying, get somebody to invite people to that group. And then you can put them in your own audience where you can then nurture them slowly and build credibility with them. So that's one thing that if anybody's kind of doing that and you're seeing a lot of success with that, even if you're not a panelist, raise your hand. If you're like, I run a very serious Facebook group, I mean, I'm solid on it. Raise your hand on that. We'd love to bring you up and chat about that too. So what other kind of strategies? I mean, I want to go into like things that you're really doing, right? So if you're like Aaron Fisher, I know you've got your sales team pro kind of humming. Do you have kind of a process, if you're available, right now or not, just flash your mic. But you know, if you've got a process that is anybody, if you're working a process right now where you say every week, I or my salesperson or somebody, you know, sends out an email or a broadcast, or you've got some kind of cadence to keeping up with your clients or calling them, what does that look like? So go ahead, Aaron. Good morning.
Hey, Josh. We kind of been tinkering and trying to figure out, you know, what's the best process. Obviously, the client part we've got completely nailed down. Our investment clients, we have a rotation. They're getting a phone call, you know, on a quarterly basis. We've talked about that a lot. Life insurance clients, we try to touch base every 6 months with their annual anniversary. And if they're just an insurance client, no investments, the reason why we want to make that touch is because we want to get residual income flowing. And so life insurance, term life insurance obviously has no residual effect, but if we can get them to, you know, do a rollover or start a Roth IRA or some type of monthly investment, a college fund, then we know that we view that client as residual income coming in. And so we want to be in front of them using life insurance as their agent, as the door opener. Now, the tricky part has been the prospects. And so my call assistant isn't as savvy with the STP. So my wife and I are just kind of looking at prospects, you know, which calls should we, how should we do that? You know, are we calling them, letting them drip? And I've started to take over some of that in the morning before I kind of get my day going, head to the office for the kids go up. I look at the follow-ups at the prospects and I just kind of put together a game plan based off of how I know that relationship is. Is it a new relationship? Is it a fully developed relationship? You know, I've been dripping on a broker for the number one Keller Williams firm in our area for 3 years. Use them to purchase my house, and about 5 years ago, and I got an email, you know, just this week from the two brokers. We want to set up a retirement plan for our employees. You know, he told me that he's got a big rollover he needs help with. His uncle's no longer in the industry, and the other one has some young children and is going to set up some 529s. And so I know that's from the power of just holiday campaigns, bringing value to the investing masterclass that's coming up. But I'll give you an example. If we go out and we do an event and we gather the names, they're all prospects. And so I'll put a custom list together of that 50 names saying, hey, we met at this, you know, wedding event or whatever it is. And then I'll think about how do I want to drip on them for 90 days. I'll look at putting together, you know, some campaigns every 2 weeks that might go out, that the retirement quiz or the insurance quiz or $50 a month. You can get started for as little as $50. Of course, they're all going to get the investing masterclass. And so we are just dripping on them. And then, with the prospects as well, you want to determine, are they a prospective client, maybe a prospective recruit? I don't mark that at all if they're an influencer, and I just want them in the database just so I can send them a Christmas card or just have the holiday campaigns going through. So, you know, from as far as STP is concerned, Josh, that's kind of how we manage that right now. We just don't just put names in every, we're going back even in the prospects and working harder and say, how can we categorize that? How can we work on that so it's constantly offering value on the background while we do our day-to-day operations, the phone calls coming in on a daily basis, whether it's referrals, new business, or maintenance kind of stuff. So hopefully that helps.
For sure. Are you, so that's in Sales Team Pro. Are you doing anything? I know you're not a big social media guy. Are you doing anything with social media at all to attract prospects as new people, or
yeah,
kind of staying away from that?
Not as much right now. A lot of it, I just continue to just put family oriented things. I know in the past I did a lot. I just haven't found my rhythm yet there, how I want to approach that. I know there's a more professional way to do it. I'm probably going to need to hire out to help me with that, just because that's just not something I know is my strength, so or something I even enjoy. So that typically that means I need to find someone who can help me with that, because I do believe it's important. I'm just not on my game with that at all at this point.
Yeah, and we've talked about that on here before. I mean, it's just consistency is key. You're better off not posting than posting like regularly, almost, if you're talking about business and this and that. You know, it's easy to put up the family stuff, you know, that kind of thing. It's easier to keep up with. So, yeah. All right. So other strategies. So, I mean, geez, anything you're doing that's helping to drive prospects. Okay. And that can be prospects for sales, prospects for recruits, prospects. I mean, just that's the main thing. We got to fill the funnel, guys, right? We got to get like what Josh said about, you know, the Facebook group communities. That's huge. Like if you can, if you had even a Facebook group, which I do like groups because they're private, you know, which is what's really neat about those. But if you had a group and you can just invite anybody to the group. So if somebody's like, what do? You can give them a quick little elevator talk, but then you can say, well, hey, why don't you join my Facebook group? And, you'll just get a bunch of free content that I put out and you just put them in there. And then that is another form of like drip without it being like an email. It's you going live once a week. It's maybe two other posts, you know, it's like three posts a week. Much more powerful than a business page because a Facebook business page is not only public, and then is considered under the scrutiny of, like home office, you know, tighter kind of compliance, if you will. But the other side of that is that a business page based on the Facebook algorithms, Facebook only shows like less than 5% of your population. Okay. Who follow, if you have 1,000 followers to your business page. Okay. And you put up a post, only 50 people are going to see it. 50 out of 1,000, because they don't show it to 950 people because you didn't pay them to. Okay. So the algorithm works for ads people. Okay. You're paying for eyeballs. Okay. But in a group, groups don't operate that way as of yet. Okay. Now it doesn't mean that they're not going to change that. Okay. That's why it's an ever evolving ecosystem in social media. So a group though, they see it. Okay. There's like 100%. It's like if they go scrolling today, they're going to see it, let alone if they go to their groups tab in Facebook and they scroll through their groups, they're really going to see that you posted today. So you have a much higher chance if you have somebody in a group to actually make sure that they see them. The goal though, with a group, okay, is not, I repeat, not to start a group. Then you go to invite and there's like an invite all, you know, and you invite everybody. Okay. That's a bad idea. Okay. It's like, you don't want to invite everybody. Not all of your friends should be in the group. You know, it depends on what you need to start from the very beginning of any business plan, right? Which is, what is the intention of this business, right? What is the goal? Okay. Well, if the goal of that group is to create clients, then, and which it should be. I mean, I don't think it's very smart to create like a recruiting group. Okay. That doesn't, like, how do you nurture that? Somebody's either wanting an opportunity or not wanting an opportunity. Okay. But if you look at the client side, you're like, okay, my job is, or my goal is to educate. My goal is to teach people things. My goal is to expose maybe, myths. You know, like you have like these little themes or something for your group. Okay. And you want to decide who you want in there based on the kind of people that they would buy from you. You know what I mean? They're the qualified type buyers. Okay. Like when people always wonder, like, how does the company see all my Facebook stuff? I've got, you know, maybe you've gotten a document before because you said things on Facebook and they're like, you're naughty. You're not supposed to do that. Okay. Well, how did that happen? Well, when you're in the company and you just friend everybody who's in the company, you just take a friend request from anybody, that friend person can be working at home office and they're not in Primerica. They're not a rep. Okay. They're not a field person like you and I. They are a home office person, right? Well, it's kind of the same thing. Like you don't want to just throw anybody in your group, not just because of that, but because it's just like, I mean, you slap everybody. You don't realize you have friends who are, you know, working at other insurance and investment firms. You got friends that are, you know, geez, you got people who are in this company who are now in other companies. I mean, and they're still friends with you. You know, you want to go through selectively and build your list for your group. You like, look at the people, do it, put it through, block schedule it 2 hours a day for the next 5 days. I'm going to get through my entire friends list. If your friends list was that big and it could even take that long. Okay. Like it just slowly do it, but do it properly. There's nothing worse than me getting a DM from some new district regional leader saying, I don't know if you're a, you know, we haven't talked in a long time. I hope you're doing well. I don't know if you're keeping your options open, this and that. And I look at it and they're like an RVP in somebody else's hierarchy that I know they're upline. And I'm like, what the crap am I getting here? It's like you Facebook friended everybody who had a single mutual friend with you, and then you're just spamming. And then you wonder why nobody wants to join or do your business or buy from you. It's because it's unprofessional. You know, that is not the way to build. So it's kind of the same thing. So I just say that not from like a high horse, but like saying that from like, if you wish to be productive and you want to like, and you want to build a Facebook group or you want to be good on social media, then be a professional, you know, and if you are professional, it will work in your favor. Okay. When you brand yourself and you treat other people the way you'd want to be treated. I don't like getting spammed. I hate it. Therefore I don't spam other people. You know what I mean? It's just, it's a natural thing. And it's not about going through the numbers. It's about doing what's right and being professional in that quest. So, anyways, that's kind of a little bit of, for me, maybe on Facebook groups, they are great. I'm going to start doing my Facebook group a little. I've been slowly kind of ramping back up my Facebook group, because I'd seen a lot of results from it as well. Getting people invited, prospects who are in there inviting other people, just like my PGA tour guy, people that were in my group for a period of time, and then they would reach out to me after they'd been watching me for a couple of months. So anyways, I went on a little bit of a soapbox tour there about random going crazy online, but it drives me insane when people do that, because you're like, guys, this is not how you build an organization. Anyways, other tactics and things that you might be doing, whoever's up here, old school or new school, doesn't have to be digital at all. You can be doing like, man, I sent out letters, you know, awesome. If you're seeing a return on investment, then great. Good morning, Wendy. And then I think we're going to hop back to Anthony. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I went through with my office manager yesterday. We spent some time in Sales Team Pro just via Zoom and going through some contacts. And, you know, it was amazing. We just went through January and it refreshed some people that I needed to follow up with. So what I do is I have a list today between the event tomorrow and, you know, personally reaching out to contact people to invite them and then follow up a text. But I have a whole 2-page list of people I'm personally following up with. So just kind of getting back to that relationship part, just listening to you guys talk this morning, I have two real estate companies that want me to come and do their group meetings. And then while I was thinking about that, I thought about my other client I just brought on. She works for another company over in Anacortes. And so just strategically contacting people at the beginning of the year, reaching out, you know, listening to Anthony's story, that just made me realize, you know, kind of remember how much this is a personal relationship business. So just Sales Team Pro in it, doing that. I'm curious though, what content do you guys put on your Facebook groups? Because I did avoid that before because of home office, but to do, you know, a business page, but the group idea, I really like that. So what are the contents that people are using for that group, just really briefly?
Yeah, Anthony, why don't you go ahead and then I'll come back to Wendy.
Okay, Josh. One of the things I did, go back to the Facebook, at the beginning of the pandemic, I kind of panicked. I've always been a face-to-face prospector. So it's kind of like, okay, so now I've got to transition and pivot prospecting digitally because we couldn't go see anybody. So what I ended up doing is I noticed I was part of BNI and kind of noticed that there was a lot of businesses at the time that were struggling the same way I was, were trying to figure out how to pivot, were not having enough money to be able to, you know, spend money on marketing and advertising. And so what I did is I put out on Facebook, hey, I'm starting a networking group for other business professionals and sales professionals in the area. It's a free group for networking. If anybody's interested, you know, reply. And the first group we started up in New Hampshire, I think I got probably 300 people on Facebook over like a month period of time that replied that they were interested. Now, obviously we're not going to have 300 people in a networking group, but basically narrowed it down, found some people. But what my point here is that that was 300 more emails that got dumped into STP. And the group ended up being about 60 businesses that we were doing a Facebook, Zoom networking meeting every week that I ran. And kind of similar to a BNI concept, we did a lot of innovative stuff and helped these small businesses get to know other business people. The idea behind it was not only to get more prospects potentially into STP, but also that business people are really the people we would want as clients, because number one, they would be potentially great recruits because they know what business is all about and not all businesses make it. And number two, they're a great source of referrals to the type of people, once you get the credibility with them, that you want. So what's interesting is I never brought up Primerica at all during the first 3 months of running that Facebook group. It was just me serving them. And then finally, they were like, hey, dude, you got to tell us what you do. And it was amazing how many of those people became clients, because I didn't go into it for the purpose of having them be a client. I did it as a way of helping people. And that group now is about 100 strong still up in New Hampshire. And I started a new group down here with the same idea with, I got another 370 emails, and I've got about 40 people in that group that I'm starting to cultivate. So the Facebook groups really do work. And it ended up just blossoming into a Zoom networking meeting that is working well too. So just an idea.
So is the business networking group a Facebook business or a Facebook group?
It's a Facebook group, but we do a Zoom meeting every week, kind of like BNI does.
Okay.
So the way of actually using the Facebook group, and what's cool on the Facebook group, people can post on there going, hey, thanks so much for that referral. I talked to this person and this is who I helped out. And so there's a lot of stuff going on all the time through that Facebook group. I do post of what I do, but I allow them to post their stuff on there too, so people get a better feel for what their business is all about. And then the once a week meeting that we do break rooms where people can almost match up with businesses. And it just, people seem to love it, and it doesn't cost them anything. It costs me some time. It's a, you know, maybe 2 hours a week, but the amount of business that's starting to filter in from that is just kind of amazing, just because, again, I didn't go into it for the purpose of, hey, let me go get a bunch of clients. I really did it initially to say, hey, I want to help these guys out, because I'm learning how to pivot in the new digital world. Like I was learning through STP. I wanted to bring that stuff to them. And because the value add was so high, they trusted me. That's just continuing to grow. Now I'm spending more time doing
it. Yeah, it's good. Okay. I mean, most business people know nothing about marketing, right? I mean, until Roy Matlock really started talking about marketing, I mean, almost everybody I know in this group was like, yeah, I didn't really market. I didn't understand. I'd talk to people, you know, one-on-one or something. I didn't really understand marketing systems behind marketing, you know, kind of never read the E-Myth, you know, that kind of thing. And so these people are probably gleaning a lot from you. So you're providing value to their company. Cause they're like, look, man, I'm a plumber. Now I own a plumbing company, but I don't know anything about like client retention, you know, like a CRM or something like that. You know, like they've never heard those things before.
Yeah. It's great. It's fun because it's almost brought me back to when I started in the business of teaching people how to build an America business. This fun kind of, well, hey, I learned a new way to market digitally, which these guys, like you said, like a plumber would never have done it, but now they don't have a choice. How do you grow your business? Eat with people, you know, and just fun actually teaching them and then seeing the results. Like I've got some guys, they've tripled their business just from learning the digital stuff that I taught them, that I learned from STP. And it's just so cool to see that growth. And it's all digital, man. It's like half of the most, I would say 90% of these people I've never met in person. I've met them via Zoom, but not in person. It's just crazy.
How did you get them into the group? That's probably the question. So you started this group, you type up a group, Anthony, what did you call the group?
Yeah, it was, see, the one up in New Hampshire is called Seacoast Networkers.
Okay.
So all I did is I put a post out to a certain area. So like I was in Exeter, New Hampshire. So I was on the Exeter, New Hampshire Facebook page. And I posted on there, hey, I'm starting a new networking group. It's not going to cost you anything. I want to try to help professionals and business owners. Just some ideas, ways to network, ways to connect. And so that was the only I put out to that one group. Like the first day I got 100 people that said, I'm interested. And it was just from that. And then what I did is I pivoted again and said, you know what? I don't want to make this like somebody. So then I narrowed it down and said, group of financial, elite group of professionals that are going to work together. And we're going to cherry pick. And then we got even more people interested because that it was exclusive. And that's kind of where it started. And then every week or two, I would put another post out saying, hey, we're growing a group. I ended up breaking it up into two groups actually up in New Hampshire because it got too big. So I ended up doing two meetings instead of just one. And then now I'm doing the same thing in Tennessee.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. And you can do the whole thing from home. Man, great, great tips. Wendy, that probably helped you a little bit too. But the content is going to depend upon the group, right? So like my one private group, that's, for me as an advisor on there, I just do, I was doing regularly, I'm kicking back up into now is, I did an article a week from a third party article. That'd be something about money, right? If interest rates are going up, you know, something, you know, interesting like that, usually, a Wall Street Journal kind of report. So if I thought it was important, so, reading piece once a week, and I dropped that on the same day every single week. Okay. Was when the article would come out. Okay. Then I would do every Wednesday, I did what I call Whiteboard Wednesday. So you could do like Financial Freedom Friday, or, you know, it doesn't have to be some catchy name like that. But like, so I did Whiteboard Wednesday, and I would literally get up in front of this big whiteboard at my office, and I would teach a concept. And by concept, all I did was I went through how many works, chapter by chapter, okay? And I didn't even do a whole chapter necessarily in a week, okay? Cause that like when I got to like term, I would get like really deep into insurance, you know, investments took a while, you know, this and that. I stretched each chapter to maybe two or three, videos. And then I just told them, and then if you haven't gotten this ebook, click, you know, like comment below that you want the ebook, or, and that was before the landing page. Then you have, now you have the How Many Works landing page, and then you can tell them, like, you can attach that into the link and say, hey, for the free ebook, just click on the link in the description below, and they click on it and takes them to your little How Many Works landing page associated with Sales Team Pro. They put in their info, boom, they get a copy of How Many Works. You capture their information. Mark Zuckerberg doesn't own it anymore. You own it because you have their information off of Facebook into your CRM now. So like I would do that, every Wednesday. So like mix it up, but like, there you go. Like what else does somebody need to know than all the concepts of the How Many Works book? You know what I mean? Like if people really understood, I had somebody text me this morning, his client's like freaking out because the market's going down. Now we've talked, I've educated the heck out of him, but he suffers from anxiety. So, it's just one of those difficult clients, and he's just panicking, you know, because the market, right? Well, he's the kind of guy, normally, if somebody reads that kind of information and they learn dollar cost averaging, the ups and downs of the markets, do you see cycles of the market, 5-6 year cycles, if you teach them all these things, usually all you got to do is remind them. And they're like, oh yeah, right. This is the bad year. You know what I mean? Oh, okay. Got it. You know, we have, and then they kind of go back to normal. Right. So anyways, I think if you're teaching any of those concepts, now some people are like, I don't like being on video. Great. You could do a screen recording of your, you could screen record your iPad and you could draw on the little whiteboard on your iPad. And then you're not physically on camera, but they're seeing you like draw something out. You could, I mean, there's a million different ways you can do it. You just got to think about it, right? You got to think. how would I want to do this? What would be cool? What would engage me? If I was somebody who was out there and I was in this group and I don't know anything about money, this is me before I got into the business, what would be the kind of thing that like would capture me, capture my attention, get me to sit and listen? And I kept those videos, by the way, to less than 10 minutes. And that's why I would break up a chapter into so many, because you got to keep it light. You got to, not necessarily light. I would usually get pretty laden in the depth of information, but I would take time. You know, you just can't do it very fast. So, you know, that's the point. Let's see. I also, the town group that Anthony today, it's like lighting it up, bro. Oh my gosh. I was like, man, I could do that. I could tell that I've got a group. I could create a separate group. It'd be so easy to do that. And, Aaron, I think you were asking me in the DM, this is, I think it's poignant probably for everybody. Kind of how do you set up a Facebook group? Is that what you were, alluding to? I was trying to read the DM while I was talking. So I don't know if you're still there.
Yeah, I guess I never thought of that, because I know Facebook doesn't let you set up like a second profile. So they encouraged me to do a business page. I have one, but it just seemed cumbersome. But I never thought about just a groups like our sales team pro group page. You can have as many groups as you want.
Correct. Yeah, it's that's just like the sales team pro group page. Exact same. You're just starting one of those.
So you don't have to get all new friend requests and start a whole new profile.
No, yeah, you still have your normal profile. The page is just a group. It's a totally separate thing, right? And then you invite people, as I was saying earlier, just invite people individually to that new group. And it's just like the Sales Team Pro page. It's just Aaron Fisher, financial coach, or something. Yep. So, all right. Anybody else got some things to throw at us this morning? That, you know, strategies that you're doing. Renee, I said, I know you just wrote me, you're kind of working on some self, working on yourself kind of thing as well.
Well, what I did last year in 2021 is I spent time on learning more, and it worked. It doubled the business. So I spent time on MPI, spent time on LFIC. I learned how to use STP and started broadcasting weekly, sending broadcasting messages out. And I love that feature. It gave me a client yesterday that said, I have $25,000 in a tax-free savings account. You know, thanks for your education on tax-free savings accounts. You know, it's sitting at the bank getting 0.1%. Can I move that over to you? Of course. So those things worked. Now what I'm doing is I am spending some actual dollars on getting coaching for me. And it really helps things in my learning different techniques in my scheduling, my own personal time, you know, not personal time, but my own time, things like my habits, just fine tuning myself so that I can be better. And, you know, believing in yourself, just different strategies to make me a better agent, a better advisor, a better human being. But I'm investing money in myself in getting coaching, and it's not all within the company. You know, I'm taking a Cody Askins group, just things that are going to help me serve my people better. And when I invested the time in listening, and it was free, I didn't pay anything. Not that always spending money to get outside coaching or coaching will pay like that, but I thought I'm going to try this, because if I learn something new and I apply it and it worked like it did last year, I learned from Howard Lashner, have my business partner, who's my sister, she calls my clients every quarter, have her call them, just, hey, I'm just checking in, nothing earth shattering, just introducing myself. First, she introduced herself as my business partner, and that worked. That got us more business from our current clients. So just working on me, and that's my strategy, is to be better in every single way, in my faith, my fitness, my family, my finance, my business, and this is my self-improvement. So that is one of my strategies, and it's actually my biggest strategy this year.
Yeah, that's really good. Like it, I mean, you got to get better in every way, right? I mean, the markets right now have not been exactly exciting, okay?
Exactly.
So like you need to know, okay, what's going on? Like my way to the gym every morning now, I listen to business news, you know, stock type business news. Cause you gotta know what's going on so that when people call you, you got like your ear to the ground, right? You can't be like this bumbling idiot. Like, I don't know. I sold him an investment, but I know nothing about what's going on with the market right now. I know nothing about these conversations about interest rates or whatever. You know, you got to improve. It's not enough to just get better at the sales tactics and how to get people, but also like the client retention is going to come down to helping people wade through a scary time as well. So yeah, that's really good, Renee, in being able to, you know, get confident and better with your time frame and all, you know, all those other things that are forms of self-improvement too. It's really good. So for anybody up right now, what are some of the things that maybe you're doing to improve like your thinking, your actual education? You know, are you watching YouTube videos on how to, I mean, that's one of the best things. You're like, what do I do? A Facebook group? I don't know what to do. Well, the second biggest search engine in the world is YouTube. Go there and click on a video or like search it, right? Search how to run a Facebook group and find the video that has a ton of views, right? And then watch it, right? And watch 3 or 4 or 5 videos about how to build a Facebook group. And you're like, oh, this isn't that hard. I've got this down. Get educated, right? Learn. So like that's one of the best things you can do. Like just go watch a YouTube video on it, right? But are there any other areas for anybody up here that you're like, you're self-improving, you're like, I feel like I'm short in this area and I've got to get better and I'm taking the time to, I'm taking time out of my day to improve in this area. Anything like that to kind of bounce off of what Renee was talking about? Nobody's self-improving. That's not good. Aaron.
Josh, I'm self-improving by just being on this clubhouse.
Josh, can I add that I also bought Audible and I listen to that. I've got like a 38-minute commute every day to and from my office. I listen to certain books that Brad Gerard, because he is an incredible improver. That's what he talks about constantly, is self-improving. And so I listen to Audible books. Anything that he recommends, I'm listening to it, because if he's doing it, I need to do it. Because, you know, in my opinion, he's the greatest SNSD in Canada, and I want to follow that guy, and I want to be just like him. So Audible is fantastic, and YouTube, lots of YouTube.
Yeah, that's good. Mike Horner, good morning.
Good morning, sir. So something here recently, just in the last few weeks, we have my wife and I have been talking a lot about a lot of the self-improvement, because last year I feel like we educated ourselves, or I educated myself a lot more on the security side of the business, studying that side, studying marketing strategies, that some self-development more on the spiritual side really fell through the cracks. So I'm going to encourage everybody that what helps us get up and get going earlier every morning, so we make sure that we're starting our day in the Word, is you got to have a plan. So we talk about marketing strategies and business plans, but you also have to have that self-development plan. And I'll tell you, if I don't know what I'm getting up and reading in the morning, it's very, very easy to hit snooze. Josh, I'm sure before you started hitting the gym as hard as you're hitting it now every single morning, you know, you could get up at 6 and kind of get going, but now you're kind of held accountable because you know exactly where you need to be and why you need to be there. So any of these plans that you guys are going to start implementing, make sure you know why you're doing it. Aaron starting a Facebook group, like know the objective of it. I think it was important that Josh hit on that, you know, it's to drive clientele. It's not necessarily to for me to drive recruiting to my business, but it's to drive clientele. It's to market to, so that people know and have an understanding of what we do, so they know that they can reach out to me. But I'm just going to encourage Eric. Today was a phenomenal call. There's not much more value I could be adding right now, but I am going to tell you guys, just like anything else, on the self-development, the Facebook groups, all your marketing, have a plan for every avenue of your life when it comes to those things, okay?
Yeah. Thank you, Mike. And, you know, I'll kind of wrap up on that point when, you know, just thinking about this, but I want to recruit. Look, don't ever forget the most important person to listen to and how you grow your business is the guy who started this company. And if you listen to Art Williams, he talked exclusively about, he never tried to recruit anybody. He went across kitchen tables. He helped people convert their finances to get a plan, to show them their FIN number kind of thing, to get rid of their bad insurance, to get term insurance and invest the difference. He started there. He started helping them as consumers. And then he would say, can you believe how easy it was? How difficult was it that I talked to you? Would you be interested in an opportunity to do something with me if this seems like a good fit? That came after. Recruiting was not first. That's how the master did it himself and how he built this massive company. So guys, I think that's it too. By nurturing clients, you will get recruits because the more clients you get, the more qualified people you're in front of and the more people you're going to find who need an opportunity to do something special with their life that's different than their current path. So anyways, thank you to everybody. Really excited about Masterclass tomorrow. Make sure you are on. Make sure that you're getting it out to your clients, getting it out to your prospects to be on as well. Everybody have an awesome day. See you later.